Thank you for standing by, and welcome to JinkoSolar Quarter Four and Full Year 2018 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Ms. Renee Du. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's fourth quarter 2018 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on NewsWire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Ms. Chen Tangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Jenna Miao, Chief Marketing Officer, and Ms. Renee Du, IR Manager. Ms. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Ms. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Ms. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor provision of U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding these and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligations to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Ms. Chen Tangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Ms. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Ms. Chen.
谢谢Renee，各位早上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。Thank
you, Renee. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
本季度组件出货创历史新高，达到3,618兆瓦，环比增长22.5%，同比增长45.8%，营业收入11.2亿美金，同比增长32.5%，环比增长25.3%。 本季度毛利率为14.7%，除去反补贴特许影响的毛利率为13.8%，相比上季度的12.8%。2018年全年组件出货达到11.4G瓦，较2017年增长16%，进一步巩固了公司全球市场份额的领先地位。2018年全年营收36.4亿美元，由于平均售价有所降低。 营收较2017年下降5.4%，全年毛利率14%，相较2017年的毛利率为11.3%。Module
shipments hit a record high of 3,618 megawatts during the quarter, an increase of 22.5% sequentially and an increase of 45.8% year over year. Total revenues were 1.12 billion, an increase of 15.3% sequentially and an increase of 21.5% year over year. Gross margin was 14.7%. Excluding the CBD reversal benefit, gross margin was 13.8% compared with 12.8% last quarter. For full year 2018, we shipped 11.4 gigawatts of solar modules, an increase of 16% from 2017, which further consolidates our leading position in global market share. Total revenues for the full year 2018 were 3.64 billion, a decrease of 5.4% from 2017 because of the lower ASPs. Gross margin was 14% for the full year 2018, compared with 11.3% of 2017.
尽管中国市场受到531政策的影响， 但凭借强大的全球化布局，公司的业务依然保持增长，并进一步扩大了全球市场份额。展望2019年，我们预计全年出货量将进一步增长为30%。
Looking back at 2018, although the Chinese market was affected by the policies released on May 31, we were able to continue to grow our business with our strong diversified global distribution and further consolidated our leading position in terms of market share. Looking out to the coming year, we expect our module shipment to grow by approximately 30% in 2019.
已确定了竞价上网的思路，再次开放对大型地面电站项目的补贴，项目开发商将通过竞价的方式取得补贴，补贴基于前年的补贴额度。此外，对户用项目与扶贫项目将单独设立补贴规模。更重要的是，补贴将由国家电网支付，这将改变新增项目补贴拖欠的现象。新政策为国家的太阳能计划设定了明确的方向，将帮助行业平稳过渡到平价上网，有政策驱动向市场驱动转型，大大提振了市场情绪。基于此，我们认为今年国内的装机规模将超过去年，分布式项目与平价上网项目也将进一步扩大份额。此外，国家能源局也在积极着手解决存量补贴的问题。
On the policy side, the NEA has laid out their plans for a bidding system and is expected to begin granting subsidy approvals again for utility-scale projects. Developers of these projects will have to bid for government aid, and aid will be based on, among other things, available funds. In addition, there will be a separate subsidy scale for residential solar systems and the poverty alleviation projects.And more important, subsidies will be prepaid by state groups, which means no more payment delays for new projects. The new policy sets a clear direction for the country's solar plans and will help to greatly improve sentiment for the solar sector as the country tries to smoothly transition towards grid parity and encourage a more market-driven environment rather than policy-driven. Based on these expectations,Domestic installations are expected to exceed last year. DG projects and projects complete at grid parity will continue to make up a large share of overall installations. Besides, the NEA is also trying to address the subsidy for existing solar plants.
美国市场仍相当活跃。由于美国政府的投资税收抵免的出台，开发商可以开始长期布局并锁定远期订单。开发商在2020年前开始建设项目，并在2024年前并网，可以获得30%的投资税收抵免。因此，今年下半年，美国市场需求将保持旺盛，并且这一势头将持续。公司在美国的生产基地于2018年1月开始试产，随后产能稳步爬升，预计将在今年二季度完产。我们将抓住美国市场的机遇，利用公司的海外产能，包括美国工厂的优势。以及公司强大的品牌知名度、高质量的产品和一流的客户服务，进一步扩大公司在美国市场的领先地位。
Moving over to the U.S., the market there is very active. Due to the introduction of the Solar Investment Tax Credit, or ITC, where solar developers have begun to lock in long-term orders, U.S. demand will strong in the second half of the year.And this momentum will continue as more companies attempt to benefit from the 30% ITC, which requires construction to start before 2020 and commissioning to take place before 2024. For us, we started pilot production at our U.S. manufacturing facility in November 2018. Since then, we have been steadily ramping up and expect to be fully operational in Q2 of this year.Given the existing opportunities in the U.S. market, we fully intend to expand our presence there by leveraging all our overseas manufacturing capacity, including our U.S. facility, as well as our strong brand recognition, high-quality products, and best-in-class customer service.
亚太区域持续强劲的增长势头， 越南2019年到2021年太阳能发电上网电价补贴政策初见雏形，持续鼓励市场发展。马来西亚、泰国、菲律宾等东南亚市场延续2018年的强劲需求，公司将利用对这些市场的先发优势，巩固我们的领先地位。
We continue to see strong growth momentum there in Asia Pacific region. Vietnam's feed-in tariff policy has taken shape for 2019 to 2021 and continues to encourage market development. Malaysia, Thailand, and Philippines and other Southeast Asian markets continued to maintain robust demand in 2018. For our business, we will take advantage of our early entry in these markets.
欧洲市场在最低限价取消之后 PPA 和平价上网项目的需求激增，主要市场将会是西班牙、荷兰以及德国。欧洲市场今年的需求有望达到40亿瓦的装机量，新兴市场也在蓬勃发展，约旦、科威特、南非和阿曼等市场上升势头明显，吉瓦级别的竞标不断出台，后续Jenna 将介绍更详细的情况。
In Europe, after the cancellation of the minimum import price policy, demand from solar power purchase agreements and grid parity projects in the European market is surging, especially in some of the big markets, such as Spain, the Netherlands, and Germany. Overall, the EU market is expected to hit 15 gigawatts this year.Emerging markets are also booming. Jordan, Kuwait, South Africa, and Oman are growing fast. And we have seen a continuous string of announcements of gigawatt-level tenders. I'll let Jenna go over this in more details later.
技术方面，公司持续致力于高效技术的开发和应用，同时持续优化产品的成本结构。硅片端，我们升级导入大尺寸拉晶炉，提升了单机产能，并在降低氧含量和光衰方面取得了持续进步。同时，我们在提升金刚线切割效率和降低线耗方面均领先行业。电池端，今年1月，我们的 N 型大面积电池转换效率达到 24.2%。目前，公司专注于 PERC 与 N 型高效电池的研发，进一步提升整体转换效率，并计划提升公司的高效产能，实现现有产能的全面升级。组件端，公司刚刚在日本发布了全新的双面天鹅系列组件，立刻受到高度关注。这款组件是在公司的七大系列的新一代产品，使用了透明背板并结合镀钒，Tesla透明薄膜技术。亲质材料解决了安装方面的许多问题，同时为客户带来了更低的镀点成本。持续的技术进步不仅让公司能够为客户提供具有竞争力的高效产品，更重要的是，是我们有能力持续降低产品的成本。我们对未来进一步优化成本结构充满信心，并对未来的平价上网时代的来临做好了充分准备。
On the technology front,We continue to allocate resources towards the application of high-efficiency technology while constantly optimizing the cost structure of our products. On the wafer side, we continue to make progress implementing large-scale crystallization techniques to increase productivity. And we are also working very hard on technologies to reduce both oxygen content and light-induced degradation.At the same time, we led the industry in terms of efficiency improvement of our diamond wire cutting, continuously reducing our wire consumption. On the cell side, our large N-type monocrystalline silicon solar cell reached record high efficiency of 24.2% in January. We are now focusing on further improving cell efficiency based on N-type and PERC cells.Our high efficiency capacity will ramp up as we plan to fully switch our existing capacity to high efficiency capacity. On the module side, we just launched our new bifacial swarm module in Japan, and it is already attracting a lot of interest. The module is the latest addition to our premium Cheetah range of products, and uses cutting-edge transparent backsheets with DuPont's Clear Tableau technology. Lightweight material solves a lot of problems on the installation side and brings a lower levelized cost of energy to our customers. Competent technology development such as this not only enable us to provide our clients with competitive high-efficiency products, but also allow us to sustainably cut costs. We are confident in our ability to further optimize our cost structure going forward and are fully prepared to enter an era of green parity in the near future.
在竞争激烈的商业环境中，知识产权相当重要。目前，公司已在全球获得超过570项授权专利，很多技术均领先行业。公司还将持续投入研发，增加我们的知识产权储备，并保持全球技术的领先。我们尊重知识产权，并鼓励行业的良性竞争，但公司将采取法律行动，捍卫自身免受不法行为的指控。公司反对韩华的相关指控。公司认为这些诉讼缺乏技术或法律依据。公司的法律顾问和技术顾问正在密切合作，将对诉讼进行有力的辩护。以目前取得的进展看，我们非常有信心，也不会对公司正常运营造成干扰。
Intellectual property is important in today's competitive business environment. Currently, we have been granted over 570 patents globally, many of which led the industry. We will continue to increase investment in scientific research and grow our intellectual property portfolio to maintain our global leading position in terms of technology. We fully respect intellectual property rights and encourage healthy competition, but we will take legal action to defend ourselves from accusations of wrongdoing. We refute the allegations made by Hanwha and believe that the complaints are without technical or legal merit. We are now working closely with our legal counsel and the technical advisors to vigorously defend against the claim, and we are confident in the position we are developing. We don't expect any disruption to our normal operations arising from the Hanwha case.
产能方面，公司的硅片、电子片和组件内部产能在四季度末分别达到9.7G瓦、7个G瓦和10.8G瓦。公司计划快速增加高效产能，通过增加单晶硅片产能和 PUC 产能，以及将现有非 PUC 产能转化为 PUC， 扩大产出。预计新增产能将在年中开始爬坡，完成后将进一步提升公司的产品竞争力，并扩大成本优势。我们预期2019年年底，产能将分别达到15G瓦、10G瓦和15G瓦，其中包括11G瓦的单晶硅片产能，以及9.2G瓦的 PUC 电子产能，综合未来市场对高效产品的巨大需求，以及公司的产能情况，我认为公司的目前的产能和扩张计划是合理的。
Turning to the manufacturing capacity, our internal wafer cell and module capacity reached 9.7 gigawatts, 7 gigawatts, and 10.8 gigawatts respectively by the end of fourth quarter.We plan to rapidly increase our capacity to produce high-efficiency products by increasing both mono wafer capacity and PERC capacity and converting our existing non-PERC capacity to PERC capacity to increase output. We expect new capacity to ramp up in the mid of 2019. Once completed, the competitiveness of our products will be enhanced and our cost advantages will be expanded. We expect to reach 15 gigawatts, 10 gigawatts, and 15 gigawatts, respectively, by the end of the year. Of this, approximately 11 gigawatts will be mono wafers, and approximately 9.2 gigawatts will be PERC cells. Overall, we believe we are well positioned given the expected significant demand for high efficiency products and the current structure of our production capacity.
展望2019年，随着太阳能的竞争力日益凸显，我对明年中国和全球的太阳能需求充满信心。面对未来振奋人心的机遇，我们有信心进一步扩大市场份额，从竞争中脱颖而出，巩固行业领先地位。
Looking out to 2019, We are confident about Chinese and global demand next year as solar energy becomes more and more competitive. We are excited about the opportunities that lie ahead, and we are confident in our ability to further expand our market share, stand out from the competition, and lead the industry forward.
话题交给简磊之前，我来介绍一下行业指引。基于当前的预期，2019年第一季度公司组件出货量在2.8到3.0吉瓦之间，2019年全年组件出货量在14到15吉瓦之间。
Before turning the call over to Jenner, I will quickly go over the guidance. Based on the current estimate, we expect our total solar module shipments to be in the range of 2.8 to 3 gigawatts for the first quarter and 14 to 15 gigawatts for the full year.
谢谢 Jenner. 接下来现在我将话题交给 Jenner.
Thank you, Renee. With that, I will turn it over to Jenner.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. I'm happy to report a strong finish to 2018. Jinko shipped a total volume of 3,618 megawatts in Q4 and 11.4 gigawatts for the entire year. We once again ranked the first globally in solar module shipment for the third year running with approximately 13% market share according to analyst report.The Chinese May 31st policy change did not impact our growth momentum. Our sales channels now cover over 100 countries. In terms of geographic distribution, China had the largest demand and accounted for the approximately 38% of the total shipment. The Asia-Pacific region was the second biggest, followed by emerging markets, North America, and Europe.In 2018, we further consolidate our number one position in terms of the shipment by increasing the lead with second place by over 30%. In 2019, we expect the international demand to account for over 80% of our total annual shipments. Geographic mix among Asia-Pacific, Europe, and North America is becoming more balanced. Meanwhile, shipments to emerging markets are growing.And are increasingly becoming more important. Overall, we are very optimistic about the continuing global market growth this year. We are confident in our ability to maintain our leading position in this industry and to generate sustainable growth over long term. In terms of market updates, I will first start with China.Where recent imbalance in demand supply has supported an increase in ASPs.Especially for premium products. In February, market sentiments improved after the National Energy Administration announced the business-friendly policy drops together with industry consultation. According to various industry forecasts, new Chinese installations in 2019 is expected to be in the range of 40 to 45 gigawatts, which is similar to last year.As the industry awaits the finalization of this year's new solar policies, the industry expects the DG projects and the grid parity projects will take up an ever greater share of annual installations in China. It is the government's aim to help the industry transition from subsidy-driven demand to market-driven demand and smoothly achieve grid parity in the near term.We are confident that we will be able to take advantage of these expanding opportunities for grid parity projects while continuing to provide our clients with high-efficiency products with lower LCOE. Our strategy is to promote industry-leading products and technologies while expanding our presence and market share. The U.S. market is strategically important to us.And this year is shaping up to be a very active. Solar developers are rapidly putting together projects in order to benefit from the highest possible investment tax credits. This has created a shortage of high-efficiency products and has supported ASPs. We anticipate that this policy will stimulate further demand over the next few years.We will leverage our extensive brand recognition, premium quality products and services, as well as our dedicated local U.S. capacity to further consolidate our presence in this country. Switching over to Asia-Pacific region, we are forecasting good demand in Japanese market. We expect the 2019 total installations to be in the range of 6 to 8 gigawatts. Demand is likely to increase in short term as developers rush to secure the old FIT before it expires. Solar policies in Vietnam are gradually taking shape, which will further boost the sustainability of this market. Demand across the country is growing from both local and international players. We see potentials in other neighboring countries such as Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, and the Philippines. Our strategy has always been to establish early mover advantage in local markets. We believe we are well positioned to strengthen our leading position across the region. The Indian market is very actively growing. However, their ambitious national target for the solar products cannot be met by the limited production capacity they have. As a result, the market continues to rely heavily on Chinese and overseas suppliers, even after the introduction of import duties. We are optimistic about the long-term prospects of the Indian market. We will focus on our premium clients and promote our high-efficiency products there. We are very optimistic about European markets in 2019. The cost of solar developments has decreased substantially, and many countries have already achieved grid parity. Both utilities and the distributed segments are surging in key markets such as Germany, Italy, Netherlands, and Spain, which are showing great promise. Thanks to 20% renewable energy commitment by EU countries by 2020, many countries are rushing to reach this target before the deadline. Countries that have fallen behind are actively ramping up their efforts to bridge this gap based on this target. Emerging markets such as Latin America and the Middle East are growing in importance and accounting for a bigger portion of our shipments. In 2018, we further consolidate our position in Latin America by shipping to 20 countries there. Many Latin American markets are implementing auction mechanisms that will further stimulate demand. In the Middle East, we believe traditional markets such as Egypt, Jordan, and the UAE, as well as emerging markets such as Kuwait and Oman, will continue to show great promise. We expect 7 to 10 gigawatts of installations in MEA region in 2019 and believe demand will continue to grow through 2020. We are very optimistic about the prospects in this region, and we will allocate more resources to develop the market there. Moving to product pricing, our fourth quarter ASP decreased as expected when compared to the previous quarter. But as Ms. Chen just mentioned, with technology improvements and the ramping up of our high-efficiency product capacity, we are confident that we will be able to generate sustainable profit and growth. As solar module efficiency increases and costs continue to decrease, solar energy will continue to become more competitive when compared to traditional energy sources, which will help increase the pace towards grid parity. On the marketing side, we have set out to position ourselves as a key opinion leader in the market. One of the ways we can increase demand is by educating the market and expanding the reach of our marketing activities. As part of this effort, we were invited to speak at many world-class conferences, events, and forums, such as the IFC 2018 Climate Business Forum, which was an event where global business leaders were invited to collaborate on how to tackle climate change. We were also invited to participate in the 2018 B20 Summit in Argentina, where representatives from top companies and business associations from all G20 countries discussed the influence of grid parity on the global energy market. In terms of the product marketing, we increased our efforts towards the promotion of our premium Cheetah brand and other industry-leading products. Over the course of this year, we attended 45 major exhibitions, 207 conferences, and host a further 107 key customer events around the world. These global marketing events strengthen clients' trust in our Cheetah series of products and help to further expand the recognition of our premium products in this market. With that, I will turn it over to Charlie.
Thank you, Jenner. Firstly, I'd like to walk you through our Q4 results. Total solar module shipments were 3.6 gigawatts, up 23% sequentially and up 46% year over year. Total revenue was $1.1 billion, up 15% sequentially. The sequential increase was due to the strong solar module shipments. Gross profit was $165 million US compared to $145 million US in Q3. Excluding the CVD reversal benefit, gross profit was $155 million compared to $125 million in Q3. The sequential increase was due to the increase of shipment of solar modules and the reduction of production cost. Gross margin was 14.7% or 13.8% excluding the CVD reversal benefit compared to 14.9% or 12.8% excluding the CVD reversal benefit in Q3. We achieved a higher gross margin through a combination of our diversified, strong global sales and continued cost reduction. The operating expenses was $130 million, representing 11.6% of total revenue compared to $118 million, which was 12.1% of total revenue in Q3. Net exchange loss was $5 million compared to a net exchange gain of $14 million in Q3 due to the RMB appreciation against US dollars. EBITDA was $54 million compared to $74 million in Q3. Net income was $16.7 million compared to $27.5 million in Q3. Non-GAAP net income was $17 million. This translates into non-GAAP diluted earnings per ADS of 40 cents. I'll briefly review our full year 2018 financial results. We concluded our 2018 with total solar module shipments of 11.4 gigawatts, up 16% year over year. Total revenue was $3.6 billion in 2018, down 5% year over year due to the decline of average selling price. Gross margin was 14% or 13.2% excluding the CVD reversal benefit compared to 11.3% in 2017. We achieved a higher gross margin through a combination of our diversified, strong global sales and continued cost reduction. Operating expenses was 11.5% of total revenue compared to 10.1% in 2017. EBITDA was $220 million compared to $160 million in 2017. Net income was $59 million compared to $22 million in 2017. Non-GAAP net income was $63 million compared to $32 million in 2017. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.64. Moving to the balance sheet, the company had $506 million in cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash compared to $442 million by the end of Q3. The accounts receivable were $889 million, down from $955 million by the end of Q3. Inventories were $835 million compared to $810 million by the end of Q3. The total debt was 1.41 billion US dollars compared to 1.38 billion US dollars at the end of Q3. The net debt was 906 million US dollars compared to 936 million US dollars at the end of Q3. At this moment, we're happy to take your questions. Operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, that's 01 on your telephone keypad now. Your first question is from Philip from Roth Capital Partners. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for my questions. I'd like to just kind of talk about your capacity expansion to start. Can you help us understand what the CapEx required will be to enable your capacity expansion for 2019? Thanks.
Sure. And in terms of capacity expansion, I think the fundamental rationale for the company to expand our capacity is the market is shifting to the high inflation products. And we have, you know, the strongest products in the market, like, you know, we have the 400 watt 72 pieces T-Tech, and we just launched the SWAN bifacial product, and with strong attractiveness from our customers. And in terms of the estimation of, you know, the full year shipments, we guided, you know, 14 to 15 gigawatts shipments, around 65% is mono PERC. So all the investment is on the high inflation product, and which is, if you look at our capacity, we plan to do 5 gigawatts mono wafer capacity, and we, for the PERC cell perspective, we are doing the conversion from non-PERC to PERC, and increase the total PERC capacity to around 9.2 gigawatts. And the purpose is to build our competitiveness of the capacity as well as our cost competitiveness and for the future. And regarding your question, so total CapEx, we estimate it's in the range of 400 million US dollars to 450 million US dollars.
Okay, great. Thank you, Charlie. Can you break down the unit CapEx by chance? You know, how much, what's the unit CapEx per watt for wafer, cell, module, and then also for the PERC capacity? Thanks.
Sure, sure. And, you know, for the new capacity, I just give you some, you know, the range. And but for some capacity like the cell, we convert existing, you know, cell capacity non-PERC to PERC, so the CapEx should be lower. And for the new capacity like the mono wafer, we estimate per watt basis it's 3 to 4 cents US cents per watt basis. For the new PERC capacity per watt basis, it's 6 to 7 cents, and for the module capacity, it's around 2 cents.
Great, thank you for the detail there. So, given the $450 million that may be required, Charlie, do you have plans to raise equity? How do you expect to finance the expansion?
You know, it's a kind of coming from the couple of different, you know, resources, and we expect that we are able to continue to generate positive and sizable operating cash flows. And secondly, we are working with some industry funds which are interested in solar energy from the long-term perspective. Certainly, and, you know, we have roughly 500 megawatts international projects which are in construction, and we estimate in the second quarter or third quarter, we are going to sell around 250 megawatts international projects, and we can recycle, you know, the equity we invested on the international projects.
Okay, and is that enough?
So on the, you know, just a supplement, I think, yeah, just a supplement. I think, you know, the plan is we don't like to increase our leverage dramatically, and we are going to, you know, working with some industry funds from the equity perspective and, you know, on the subsidiary level, and they can put their money and their kind of, you know, long-term investors.
Okay, great. To what degree do you think you would want to work with local governments to help you also finance some of this expansion? Do you think there's a partnership that you can secure with some local provinces, and then in turn, you know, perhaps shift the CapEx to a partner and then have less requirement in on your own balance sheet? But then as a result, do you expect that to increase your operating expenses, you know, from a lease perspective? Can you walk us through how that might work?
I think, you know, solar is pretty attractive, and, you know, the China economy is not so good, and from many investor perspective, and a lot of investors are looking for the industry with long-term sustainable growth. And I think you understand China, even China, they have China policy is positive and providing an anticipated transition period, helping China market to shift into the market without subsidy. So why I like to say that, because a lot of market-driven, you know, financial institutions are they're interested in, you know, investing on the solar from a long-term perspective. So, you know, that is our direction to working with.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. Shifting over to ASPs, I think, Jenner, you talked about ASPs maybe coming down a little bit in Q1 versus Q4. Roughly, we calculated about a 31 cent per watt ASP for Q4. Is that correct to start? And then also, Jenner, as you think about the Q2, 3, and 4 ASPs that you might see, can you talk about the cadence of those ASPs? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. I think for ASP side, the Q4 numbers, we are around 30s, very close to 30s, so the high 20s, close to 30s. And that's for Q4. And for Q1 and for 2019 ASPs, we are observing a very strong demand, at least for our premium products, like our Chifa series and Small series. So by converting our poly capacity into more per capacity manufacturing this premium series of product, I believe the market price of those premium products will help us to that they still stabilize the ASPs and keep this whole year ASPs stable, even with some seasonality of certain quarters, the ASP even goes up somehow.
Okay, great. Do you expect, you know, I think Canadian Solar is talking about potential, and I've heard from some of our checks that there's potential in Q3 and Q4 for ASPs to go higher. Do you see any potential for that as China resolves its policy outlook and some of the demand, latent demand has gets released, I guess, in Q3 and 4?
For the seasonalities, I think this policy, mainly for the policy-driven market, it will impact the supply and demand curve in some certain period of time. That's why it happens even in the, let's say, last Q3, Q4. Maybe it might happen again for the 2019 Q4, Q3 as well. Regarding China, I think because of the delay of the announcement of the new policy, maybe it will further pop up this demand by the second half from China market,
due to the rush of the short period of time, large volume. The good thing is I think there will be some grace period, automatic corrections. That's why I think the total demand will be become much smoother than last year.
Great. One last question, and I'll pass it on. As for the U.S. market, how do you, there is a shortage of high-efficiency product in the U.S. market, and my sense is manufacturers don't want to necessarily expand capacity in Southeast Asia to be tariff economic to the U.S., but what are your plans for cell capacity in Southeast Asia? Do you expect to expand at all to serve the U.S. market, or do you think you want to convert some of the U.S. market back to multi? What are your thoughts overall for capacity? Thanks for the U.S. market.
Yeah, so Phil, I think for U.S. market, we are currently 100% supplying our Cheetah series, the high-end premium product to U.S. market. So we don't have any plan to ship poly products because of the expensive labor cost and the tracker cost in U.S. And that's our plan. So I think we will stick to our plan and fully utilize everything we have in Southeast Asia, including in U.S. in Florida side, to finish, let's say, to satisfy our obligation of supply. We have secured I think almost everything we have for the next quite a couple of months for U.S. market, so we don't have too much capacity left.
Okay. Thank you, Jenner. Thank you, Charlie. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Maheep from Credit Suisse. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. Heading back to the capacity question, how much capacity do you expect the industry to add in 2019 for either the wafer and cell capacity? And could you just talk about like the total demand expectations you have for 2019?
So, so you're talking about industry, right? The capacity expansion, right? I think, from the PERC perspective, most of the, I think investors are expecting around 88 to 90 gigawatts PERC cell capacity by the end of the year. But for the mono wafer, in terms of competitiveness, and I think we are one of the three, mono wafer producers, and are planning to do the capacity expansion, and it's depending on the how solid is the capacity expansion plan, and if you add some company along a very big capacity expand, it's not I don't think it's executable. So I think from the mono wafer capacity perspective, it's quite in line with the per capacity and around 80 gigawatts.
Got that. How much is the growth from 2018 to 2019 in that?
2018 to 2019. So, Maheep, what Charlie just mentioned is our expectation of the total total industry capacity. It's not the newly added capacity, right? Just one clarification on that.
Yeah.
So, compared with the growth ratios, personally, we believe for the mono wafer capacity is significantly. Let's say they have a significant growth. It's approximately. Close to double, let's say 60-70% growth, right? For the per cell capacity, is I think definitely more than double.
Got that. Just on your capacity expansion, like when do you expect those new capacities to come in service? Is it like an early first half of 2019 or towards the later half?
most of capacity, particularly on the mono wafer and the PERC capacity, we plan to ramp up around in the middle of the year. And you know, ramp up full capacity, you know, and I think by the end of Q3.
So yeah, it's a different stage, Mahip. This is Jenner. So for example, for the difficult part of like the inner wafer part, it's the ramp up process might take longer. But for the per capacity upgrade and adding some new capacity on, I think that will be faster. So the module part will be much faster. So that varies. So the range will be starting from Q2 to end of Q3. So step by step, everything will be ready.
Got it. And just on the thanks for color on the ASPs earlier. But how do you think of gross margins in 2019? Should we expect the same run rate we saw in Q3 and Q4 of 2018, or slightly higher?
From the gross margin perspective, in Q4 last year, you know, 2018, and excluding the CVD impact, our gross margin was 13.8%, and we expect the gross margin in Q1 is stable, excluding the CVD impact. And just back, you know, Jenner said the market price is very strong, particularly for the high inflation, the mono perk. And from our perspective, if you look at our capacity for the high inflation mono perk, it's very limited. And by the end of last year, we have only 5.7 gigawatts mono wafer and 4.2 gigawatts and perk capacity. So our in-house capacity gross margin actually in Q1, we expect to increase because, you know, continued cost reduction and a very decent price. And however, because of the particularly the third party, the perk sale price is pretty high, and we need to buy around 30% and to 40% sale from third party. So we get some negative impact from the gross margin perspective in Q1. So all in all, and we expect the Q1 gross margin is stable. But however, with more capacity, particularly for the perk sale coming out, and the price is in a downward trend. And most importantly, we are increasing our capacity on the mono wafer and the perk sale. And we expect our in-house capacity, which is our total shipments, the percentage, particularly for the mono perk, will increase step by step. So we estimate our gross margin for the second half year will, you know, improve step by step.
Got it. That's helpful color. And just the last question for me, and then I'll jump back in the queue. Like, how do you look at operating expenses for the year, especially given you're increasing your shipments by more than 30% in 2019?
Yeah, you're right. And we estimate 30%, you know, shipments and growth, as well as we estimate the, throughout the whole year, the ASP is quite stable, and particularly on the high inflation products, and you know, and we have the, you know, very strong competitiveness of product. And from the revenue size, and we estimate, because the shipment is 30% increase, and the revenue size we estimate, I think, around 15% increase. So from the operating expenses perspective, we estimate in a range of 10% to 10.5%.
Got it. I appreciate the call. I'll jump back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Brian from Goldman Sachs. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the questions. I might have missed this, but did you mention what your cash flow from operations was in 2018, what that number was?
The cash flow for 2018, we are still, you know, finalized numbers. But if you look at our, you know, the disclosed cash flows in the previous quarters, it's quite, you know, impressive because, you know, particularly, you know, we signed a lot of contracts in the international markets and for the next 2 or 3 years. So we got a lot of, you know, advance payments.
Well, maybe put another way, I think you spent $545 million in CapEx for 2018. That's on slide 7 of the presentation. How did cash flow from operations compare to that? It, just directionally, I guess.
So you're talking about 2018, right, CapEx?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a sense for what free cash flow was in 2018.
Okay. I think from the free cash flow, you know, given, you know, we invest around over $400 million, I think the free cash flow will be, you know, some, you know, negative numbers in a range of, I think, around $100 million or to $150 million.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. And, you know, you mentioned $400 million right now, but on slide 7, unless I'm interpreting this correctly, if you add up the quarterly figures on the CapEx, it totals $545 million for 2018. So can you reconcile? Is that the right CapEx number to be assuming here? And then related to that, go.
Sorry to interrupt. I think, you know, I'm talking about from the manufacturing perspective, and if you look at our number, we have international projects. Just as said, you know, we are going to sell the international projects and around 250 megawatts. And, in the middle of the year.
All right, maybe the question is, of the $545 million in aggregate CapEx that you show in slide 7, how much of that is manufacturing CapEx versus how much of that is project related?
You know, the CapEx for the IPD, you know, international projects, it's around $90 million.
$90 million, okay. And the reason I ask is, I take the $90 million out of the $545 total. You spend around $450 million in manufacturing CapEx for 2018. You're guiding $400 to $450 million of CapEx. I'm assuming manufacturing CapEx in 2019, based on, you know, the question that was asked earlier in the call around your capacity expansion. But the capacity expansion target is much higher for 2019 over 2018. Versus what you saw in 2018 versus 2017. So I'm just, you could help reconcile how, you know, it's not much higher than that.
I think I understood the questions. And in my previous, I think, remarks, I think it's not the new, you know, all the things are from the new capacity expansion, like the cell and capacity. It's mostly coming from the converter, existing capacity, long PERC to PERC. At the same time, we increase the output and debottleneck. And for the module perspective, I think we are going to increase around 4 gigawatts, around 2 gigawatts. It's from the debottleneck. It's not the new capacity expansion.
Okay, maybe on that same topic then, what about wafer and cell? Because wafer and cell are clearly the more capital-intensive parts of the CapEx budget. How much of that is debottlenecking to get to the 15 and 10 gigawatts versus greenfield expansion?
And so you're talking about wafer, right?
Wafer, and I think you mentioned, earlier you said the wafer and the cell were higher cents per watt capex than the module, which makes sense.
Yes, you're right. I'm talking about the new capacity capex. And if for the existing old capacity, converting or upgrade or debottleneck, the capex per watt basis will be very lower.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take that offline. Maybe just another question on the capacity expansion, and then I'll move on to another topic. Given you're burning some cash here in 18, or you burned some cash in 18, it seems like you'd be on a similar trajectory in 2019, given the gross margin and OPEX color that you provided, and also a similar level of CAPEX. How should we be thinking as investors on ROI or ROIC, just the level of returns that you target when you go into your annual planning sessions to figure out how much CapEx, capital investment, to be putting back into the business? Just, is there a hurdle rate you look at, or how you guys just give us a sense of how you think about the targeted returns as you put capital to work on the CapEx side?
Yeah, and Brian, I think we build high efficient capacity, and just like we said, we think it's a market trend. Market is shifting to the high efficient products, and we invest a lot of R&D and on the products, and it's for the high efficient module capacities. It's the gross margin is quite impressive. Like I think from the industry leaders and the mono perc module in house gross margin are able to reach 25% even higher. And we build the capacity not for this year, and we think it's a trend, and we increase our competitiveness of the capacity perspective. And again, for the financing needs and to increase the capacity, and our goal is to working with some industry equity funds and to fund the capacity expansion.
Okay, I mean, I know a lot depends on what out year pricing and your costs end up doing, but when we sort of back into the math, it seems like on some of this capital investment, you're earning less than a 5% ROI. Would you agree with that, or how would you sort of put us at ease that the returns on this investment are better than what seem to be penciling out on paper?
Well, I think, Brent, this is general. I think our target is at least to be at the same level of the industry leaders for the high-end product margins. So we will, from the margin wise, we're expecting, like, say, high mid-20s range, same as our other peers, right? I think you can take that as a reference.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe last question, and I'll pass on. I know I've had a few here. I think it's come to light recently that you have some associated debt or liability with the JinkoSolar Power organization that you parted ways with a couple years ago. I think based on your financial statements, the agreement or liability or backstop, however you characterize it, ends in October of 2019. Our understanding is JinkoSolar Power is in the market or has been in the market trying to raise debt, but in the event that they aren't able to do that, just maybe can you level set us as to what your exposure is there? And then given we don't have transparency into what JinkoSolar Power is doing with its balance sheet, what confidence level there is that won't be a liability that ultimately stays with you guys at the end of this year?
I think, We think a lot of misleading information in some people's report, and
back to the history is in Q4 2016, we spun off Jinko Power. And before the spin off, Jinko as a parent company, we provided guarantees for the project loans of Jinko Power. And in China, it's a very standard and common practice for parent companies to provide guarantees for the project loans in China. And because, you know, all the projects we provided guarantees back to before the 2016 are in the subsidy catalog, and they're generating, you know, sufficient cash flows and paid down the, you know, the principals, the total guaranteed amount had dramatically decreased to around $580 million. And after the spin-off in 2016 Q4, Jinko and Jinko Power are independent companies. We didn't provide any additional guarantees to Jinko Power. On top of that, for the pre-existing guarantee arrangements, we are charging the guarantee fees based on the market practice. And in addition, and I think, you know, there are some information in public is Jinko Power in Q4 last year, they have raised another RMB 1 billion equity fund. And in December last year, Jinko Power submitted the IPO applications and are expected to continue to go through the IPO process.
And Brian, I don't understand why you guys keep saying it's not transparent. I think every information is transparent in public. You can find all the information out of 20F. I don't know if just somebody doesn't spend any time in reading out 20F or what. It's all transparent, okay?
Yeah, I referenced that in your financial statement, so there's transparency to that degree. The fact that Jinko Power is not a publicly listed entity is what I'm referring to in terms of the lack of transparency as to what's happening at your partner, because what's happening there at the partner level with respect to their debt servicing and raising of funds is what's potentially a worrisome issue with respect to guys. So I'll leave it there. I'll take it offline. Thanks for answering all the questions, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Carl from CICC. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hey, management. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is, I'm looking at your capacity expansion plan. We have a lot of mono wafer capacity expansion. And I got one question that we are looking at the market and we are seeing some kind of quasi-mono that is using the traditional poly and they can produce mono wafer. So how we look at this technology, are they going to mature this year? And we are seeing some kind of pricing that those kind of quasi mono wafer could produce like RMB 0.4 per piece discount compared to the normal mono wafer. And so I will got a follow-up question on the cost reduction. Yeah. So the first question is about how we look at this technology about the quasi mono.
Thank you. So this is Jenner. I think in terms of the technology roadmap, there are a lot of arguments in the market. Jinko has its own roadmap and its own technology together with its own IPs. So after our internal analysis, we believe the current roadmap, including the wafers, cells, and modules, is the most promising and a competitive ways we should do. So that's why we choose this way. And regarding our other peers' technologies, I think it's hard to comment on it, good or bad or high or low. But We respect that everyone has a different position in terms of the facilities they have, in terms of the R&D development they have, even, you know, their asset qualities, et cetera. So everyone comes from different positions, make different decisions. But at the end of the day, the market will only look into the solar modules in terms of LCOE. I think that's the China policy decision makers trying to push for together with the other solar markets as well. So as long as the LCOE number makes sense, that will become the competitive. That's how we make our decision as well.
Okay, thank you. My next question comes from the cost reduction. So we are seeing some of our peers has the margin expansion in the fourth quarter, and they see some purchase cost reduction and RMB depreciation help their margins. But we are seeing quite a stable margin for us. So could you help me to understand what's the I think in the report we are mentioning that we have a exchange loss because of the RMB appreciation in the first quarter. So I got a little bit confusing about this term. So could you please tell me, what are we facing in the first quarter? Are we facing the RMB appreciation in the first quarter? And so we make a foreign exchange loss on that. And so how we look at the cost in the fourth quarter?
I think, you know, for the cost reduction, it's still our key focus throughout 2019. And, you know, we are debottleneck our, you know, capacity, increase output, reduce the cost per watt basis. And we are talking about the capacity expansion, particularly on the mono wafer per cell. And we continue to expect the economy of scale. And we are putting technology in place and increase the efficiency enhancement. And back to you, what you are saying is the gross margin. And I think the key impact for us is, we have limited cell capacity. We need to buy 40% from third party, and due to the capacity constraints, particularly for the mono PERC cell, the prices has increased a lot, you know, in recent and 1 quarter to 2 quarters, and so our gross margin gets some, you know, impact from that perspective. From the medium term, the per capacity coming out, the price, the market price for solar cell is in a downward trend. And on top of that, we are adding our in-house very cost competitive capacity. And we are expecting to see the positive impact in the second half year.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I understand. My last question is about the order visibility. So everybody is talking about the very strong demand from the overseas market. So what's our order visibility in 2019? Are we have secure our order through second quarter to third quarter? And how about this order? Are they with the price secured or they are with the price open?
So this is Shannon. So I think the visibility, let's say numbers are varied according to what capacity we are talking to, right? So according to our status on hand, we are happy to say that we are over 60% booked for the whole year of 2019.
Okay.
And I think the number will change in the next few months as well. But the strong demand is already happening. And even without that, remember that number comes out without the China market start, right? So that's why we are pretty confident this will be a great year for the whole industry, I think.
I think, you know, the visibility is the strongest in recent years. And just like Jenner said, it's almost 100% from international markets. And China policy, you know, the installation are expected to in the second half year of 2019. So we didn't account for any China, you know, orders and in the visibilities. And I think the key driver is, you know, great priority is coming, and the technology innovation is impressive. Like, you know, per half sale land type, you know, and bifacial, and driving down the solar installation cost and LCOE. And we believe, you know, because in, across the global, the key solar markets, the penetration is very low compared to the potential growth.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I got a follow-up question on this. We already see that 60% of this whole year is based on our guidance of 40 to 15 gigawatt shipment. Is that can I understand on that?
Yeah, that's approximate. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so, for those orders, the pricing of our modules is fixed, or is it flexible?
Fixed. We only talk about only when everything fixed. We count them as firm orders. If the price is not fixed, we don't count them. If we count those, let's say, not fixed orders, the visibility number will be much higher than what we say.
Sure. Just as we previously mentioned, we got a prepayment from that, right?
We got full security on it.
So what kind of percentage of prepayment we can get?
Well, we don't disclose that, sorry to say,
okay.
But we have enough comfort on those execution of those contracts for sure.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for taking my question. That's
all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, we'll be taking in our last question from Alex, who's from UBS. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my last question. My first one is regarding to your wafer capacity expansion plans. You mentioned you will expand your wafer capacity by 6 gigawatts this year. So, but considering the other wafer makers like Longji or Zhonghua, they're also expanding very quickly or aggressively. So do you think you can get enough wafer equipment from like Jingsheng Jilian or Beihang Huachuang in time? I mean, are you confident enough to get all your new wafer capacity online within the year?
Yeah. I think we are not going to, you know, discuss our suppliers, but I think, you know, when we talking about 5 gigawatts mono wafer capacity, we have almost secured, you know, the suppliers. And on top of that, when, you know, we are selecting, you know, the regions in the west of China, which is very cost competitive, and we build the capacity, and it's a brand new 5 gigawatts mono wafers, and we believe our, you know, from both quality and the cost perspective, and the capacity will be very competitive.
Okay. Then my second question is regarding to the module ASP. You mentioned that you are expecting a relatively stable ASP outlook for this year. But considering that we still have some small distance compared with grid parity, so do you think you still need to push down the ASP a bit to help the industry reach grid parity, or maybe that will happen next year?
Yeah, Alex, this is Jenner. I think you just raised a great question. In long term, we do believe only by making solar energy become more competitive compared with other traditional energy resources, solar industry will have a bright future. That's everyone working in this industry believes, I think. And in short term, the seasonality of different market segments, even the policy changes, the deadline changes, will you know, naturally change the short-term supply and demand. That's why I say in the long term, let's say in the whole year of 2019, I see the market price become more stable. However, if you look into the, I think, into the single quarter or single month, that will be much more impacted by the detail of the policies. That's why I think, you know, most of the industry players believe in the Q3, Q4, when China market pick up with a strong number, I think the price won't drop too much, I think.
Okay.
I understand you're talking about China, you know, the projects without subsidy. And if you look up, you know, the global, I think, you know, most of countries have reached a great parity and even more competitiveness. And China, I think you understand there's some, you know, sizable, or, you know, 3 billion, you know, subsidies. And, you know, most of, if you compare to the top runner, you know, the subsidy levels, let's say our average RMB 5 cents, and it's going to support, you know, very, you know, big numbers of installation. So it's again, it's a transition period and 2 years, right? Starting from now, and so. Yes.
Yeah, I think that pretty much answers your question, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's very helpful. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, gentlemen. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may all now disconnect.